So this evening we will be finishing up chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. So right now we are at the halfway point, once we finish this passage, of the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to him. What we've seen so far is in chapter 1, the call to pray for one another. We see that Paul prays for Timothy. He prays in praise for the faith that the Lord has given him. He prays in praise for the faith that he has seen in Timothy's mother and his grandmother. We see that he prays for him night and day. He does not cease in prayer for Timothy, just as we should not cease in prayer for others. He then goes on to tell Timothy, and through the Spirit, us, to use what God has given us, the new life, the new spirit, the gifts that we've been given, and to do all those things for his glory alone. Anything that we have has been given by God in abundance in his grace, and all things should be used for his glory. We should fan into flame what we have been given in order to fulfill any ministry or call that the Lord has placed on our lives. He then calls Timothy to imitate others' faith, not just his, but others who are strong in their faith. In the beginning of chapter 2, he tells us to be strengthened by Christ alone and to fight for holiness. He compares us to soldiers. We are called to wage war against sin and fight to live holy lives that, again, give him the glory. We are called to know and proclaim sound doctrine, sound teaching, teachings that can be found in this word alone. He then goes on to tell Timothy to avoid false teachers, to avoid false teachings, men that twist scriptures, as we will talk about tonight, for their own glory, for their own sake and benefit, and to avoid them completely, they themselves and the knowledge that they have. And last week, Chris talked to us about living honorably and fleeing sin. A part of that fight and that war that we wage against sin is to flee situations or circumstances that we have when we are in temptation. Tonight in these verses, we see that we can take no pride in any knowledge that we have, any knowledge that we have been given. We are to honor Christ in the way that we share our faith with others and our interactions with them. And we see that God alone is Savior and works out salvation. Reading again, verse 23. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Always have an eternal mindset and boast in what the Lord has done, not your own knowledge. This is the third time that Paul has warned Timothy to have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant, useless conversations, useful arguments, useless debate. I think I said useful arguments. I meant useless. That's okay. We see Peter with the same call. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, and in these verses, he also mentions Paul. These are Peter's final words that we have written, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Do not partake in these useless conversations. In Paul and Timothy's time, many of these, as we see in Titus and in some of Paul's writings to Timothy, were speculations, endless genealogies, anything that they could use from Scripture that they could twist to their own advantage, for their own benefit, to show that they had a special knowledge, that they deserved that authority or they had superiority over others. They used it all for their own benefit. We deal with these conversations as well. Anything that is not pertinent or important to salvation in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith in Christ, is useless. It's not to say that we can't talk about anything other than the gospel, but our minds should always be focused on sharing the important doctrines, the important teachings that will not only spur others on in their faith, but the Lord will use to bring others to salvation. We also see that these men were puffed up in worldly knowledge or wisdom that leads to destruction. It will destroy. No knowledge that man has is worth anything. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Paul again describing that we cannot boast in anything but the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul continues in the beginning of chapter 2, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. God has chosen the weak so that no man can boast. Many years ago, I don't believe that I was truly in the faith or had salvation, but my entire life I've claimed to be a Christian. And something that I always thought was, why doesn't the Lord use celebrities? Why doesn't he use people with influence? They can reach millions, maybe even billions of people with the gospel. Why doesn't he do that? Well, as we see here, it's because he chooses the weak and the foolish so that he will get the glory, not us. Also, we see later on, and we'll discuss it, that all throughout the New Testament, we know that we will suffer. We will be persecuted. So, as we've seen in some recent news and in the past, that when someone who has large influence in the world proclaims a genuine faith in Christ that's based on the Word, they are attacked. They lose things. They lose that influence, that fame, that celebrity. In fact, they're no longer famous. They become infamous for speaking the truth. So what does an eternal view or mindset look like? How do we do these things to honor the Lord? We have been given all that we need to share our faith for his glory. Later on in this book, in 2 Timothy, we will read that we have been given everything we need for life and godliness. It's all in the Word. Not only has he told us what not to do, how not to sin, what offends him, what he hates, but he has also given us everything we need to live for his glory, to take actions that please him. Reading verse 24 in 2 Timothy. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. We have been called to have a biblical mindset when we are defending our faith. We see many things here when it says the Lord's servant, kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Many of these are described in 1 Timothy 3, with the qualifications for elders and deacons and also in Titus. But these are things that every Christian is called to. We are all the Lord's servant, even if you don't have a specific position in a church. Many of these are the fruit of the Spirit. Beginning in verse 22, we see faith, love, peace, and 24, kindness, patience, gentleness. The one who truly serves God will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, a while ago on Thursdays we went through it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are called to bear fruit. Every Christian should show fruit. As MacArthur says, whether it's a raisin or a watermelon, we should all exhibit those fruit. But we also know that that's only by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who bears fruit. We are called to strive to participate in those things, to strive for, again, that holiness, knowing that in that striving, in that pursuit, the Lord is pleased and He will use us for His glory. Our aim in defending the faith is to honor Christ and show God's love and mercy. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, we see Peter calling us to defend our faith, to show our hope in the Lord. Beginning in verse 13. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, not if you are slandered, when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. We are given a pattern to follow in order to honor the Lord in how we share our faith, in how we represent, how we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, when he talks about the defense that we make, the Greek is apologia, which is where we get the word apologetics, or simply the defense of the faith. Now, it could be a whole nother sermon or sermon series to talk about apologetics, so I'll hold off on that. I don't want to keep you guys here till 9 or later. But we do see a call to follow what God has told us to do in order to share our faith, that He will use it to bring others to salvation. We see this pattern in 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. We're called to show kindness and respect. In Romans 12, 18, Paul says, if possible, so long as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Never be harsh or critical, but always be willing to share truth. Because Vodi Bocum, H.B. Charles Jr., and many others have said, the gospel is offensive, it's enough itself, it doesn't need your help. Because those that are outside of Christ hate God, they do not want the gospel. They are dead in their sin and trespasses, as we will read later on. We are also called to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Again, everything we need is here. We need to know this, not to lord it over people, but because this is the only truth, capital T. We are called to persevere through the suffering that will come. Here, we read in 1 Peter, elsewhere in his letter to Timothy, we know that we will suffer. Let that suffering be for the sake of Christ. Not because of sins you have committed, not because of other things, but purely for the sake of Jesus Christ. We're then called to lovingly correct anything that is false. Again, having gentleness. Not making people feel stupid, or at least trying not to. Making sure that we have a love, wanting them to no longer be under the Lord's wrath, to share in his glory with them, to be able to praise and worship our Lord with them in eternity. We should desire that for everyone we encounter. Amen. Our aim should also never be to win an argument or to be the Savior. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Again, Paul, writing, says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." In any of these interactions, whether someone has asked you, as Peter said, for why you have hope, or you have decided to spark up a conversation in order to share the gospel with someone, we should trust that the Lord will always give us the correct response. He will give us wisdom through the Holy Spirit to answer any questions, to share truth in a loving and gentle way. We should also trust that if we do not know the answer, that we should not make something up or simply say, "I don't know." But what we should do is find the answer in the Word and make an effort to go back to that person and answer it with truth. Again, understanding that in his Word, we have everything we need for life and godliness. We should always prepare ourselves, but we have to always remember that the Lord is the one who acts. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." We save no one. When we share the gospel, if the Lord is not at work, nothing's going to happen. It is him who brings salvation to those who are lost. Again, he wants to use us for those things, but that's just it. We are a tool. If he doesn't pick up the tool and use it, it just lies there. It's useless. So we need to trust that the Lord is going to do the work in these interactions. And even when we do mess up, when we say something wrong, when we stumble with our words, we can still trust that the Lord is going to use whatever bit of truth may have been in what you said to bring his children to salvation. God is the one who saves. He does this work alone, but he uses the works he's given us to do to bring that about in his children. In every step of salvation, he is in control. He begins it, and he completes it, and everything in between. All him. We get to participate, but he receives all the glory for salvation. Again, 2 Timothy 25. "God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." God can redeem even his greatest enemies, which everyone is God's enemy. And as Paul says in Romans 10, who can resist God's will? If he has chosen for salvation, who are we to deny that? All men equally deserve God's wrath. God may perhaps grant them repentance. Some believe that this is in regard simply to those outside of Christ for salvation. Others believe that in light of what is being taught about false teachings and how we can succumb to those even inside of Christ, to fall into those snares or traps that have been set by men, by the devil, Either way, we're all called to repentance, to have repentance and faith, to turn from our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3:23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have fallen into the snare of the devil." We have been rescued, and yet we can still fall into sin. We can still get caught into those traps. Sometimes we like to think we're better than Adam. We wouldn't have ate that fruit. Not us. Sometimes in reading the Old Testament, we see time and time and time again God's steadfast love and faithfulness to the nation of Israel, and yet they turn again and again. And we think, we could never do that. We have the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't do that. No. Or your neighbor. You may think you're better than your neighbor or your coworker. All are deserving of God's wrath. All have to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. We can't see man's heart. Our call is to preach the gospel to all men, whether we believe they belong to the Father or not. God is the judge. Again, we've talked about it here before, and we could do many, many sermons or series on it, but there are times we are called to judge and judge not. We are called to test ourselves and test others so that they might have assurance in the faith that they've been given. But as far as saying without a shadow of a doubt, this person is saved, this person is not saved, that is not for us to say. We can learn how the Lord works in salvation and that he has chosen who he has chosen and he redeems who he has chosen for his glory and his good pleasure. But that's not for us to know. That's for him to know. We are called to preach the same to all people. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Here we see again that it is only the Lord that knows the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. What we know is that we don't know, again, who is saved. Those that either openly reject Christ or have never made a profession of salvation, we should always be adamant and persistent in sharing the gospel with them. But we still cannot say without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to hell. It's a safe assumption. We should make that assumption, hoping that they would be transformed by the power of the gospel. But even those that have passed, we don't know for sure. There's still a hope that they might have had that transformation, that repentance and faith before they passed. All we can ever say about one who has passed, who we were unsure if they knew the Lord, is that they are in the Lord's hands. He is just and he is good, no matter what. In Mark 14, verses 18 and 19, if you turn with me there, we see again the reason that we need to always focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ with our brothers and sisters and those outside of the faith. These are Jesus' last moments with his disciples in verse 18. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" The disciples had no idea it was Judas. Judas the betrayer. Judas who throughout the Gospels is not usually mentioned as the betrayer. He's mentioned as one of the 12 to show the intimacy that he had with not only to the disciples, but Jesus Christ. He did ministry with these men for 3 years. He was sent out with them when Jesus sent out the apostles. And yet, he did not know the Lord. He did not have a genuine repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And the closest men to him could not see that. Whether it's your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Chris, never stop preaching Christ crucified. Because even if we believe that they are saved, we don't know for sure. And our focus should be on Jesus Christ anyway, no matter what. So the question is, everyone has a father, again reading verse 26, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Again, whether this is those in the faith that have fallen into that snare or unbelievers, we need to trust our Father and know that everyone has a Father. Turn with me to John 8. We see Jesus describe these things. Beginning in verse 43 of John 8. This is Jesus speaking. "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Your father is either Yahweh, the Lord, or Satan. There is no in between. You either have faith in Jesus Christ, or you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. And if you are here tonight, listening, hearing the gospel, I pray that you would be granted repentance and faith in him, because you're not guaranteed another chance at that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Again, if you have been here before, this will be a familiar passage, and it never loses its beauty or its punch. Beginning in verse 9 of Romans 10. "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Tonight, Christian, have you fallen into the snares of the devil? Have you given into those doubts or lies that come to us still? Because we are in the flesh, there's still indwelling sin. And to the one who does not know him, or if you're not sure, I pray that you would repent and come to saving faith this night. And if you do, please share that with someone, that we might rejoice in the Lord with you. Let us pray.